we've made our decision, we're going to be a wet culture. I don't think anyone is ever seriously going to propose that we attempt another round of prohibition to deal with our alcohol-related problems.
Mark Edward Linder, co-author with James Kirby Martin of Drinking in America. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Linder says alcohol was brought to America by the first settlers from Europe.
Alcohol beverages, various sorts of wine, malted beverages, or distilled spirits, generally kept longer. The alcohol didn't go bad. Beer didn't keep as long as distilled beverages, but it kept longer than water, so virtually any kind of alcohol beverage got the nod over water if they were given a choice.
As waves of European immigrants poured into America during the late 19th century, the temperance mind found it hard to react to such a diverse society.
Irish, German immigration, later on other ethnic groups coming over, brought not only different ethnic traditions and cultural preferences, but different political traditions, different ways of looking at what society was all about, many of which did not fit the early American conceptions of public virtue and the good society.
Overconsumption of booze began to take its toll, says Linder. Skid Rows appeared, named after a road in Seattle.
Seattle was a logging town in its earlier history, and on top of the hill, it was a log skid that led down one of the logging mountains, and they would skid the logs down from the lumbering area where they could be processed down below. That was called Skid Road. There was a road running next to it. Skid Road, by the way, is still in Seattle today. You can walk on it.
Such giants of industry and commerce as Andrew Carnegie, John D. Rockefeller, William Randolph Hearst, and Henry Ford became ardent supporters of Prohibition. And Linder says that Henry Ford saw right away that drinking and driving did not mix.
At one point, he became so concerned about it that he not only backed Prohibition, but threatened to stop producing automobiles if Prohibition were ever repealed.
But even those captains of industry were known to tipple.
Andrew Carnegie, for example, always appreciated a good drink.
Mark Edward Linder, co-author of Drinking in America. What happened when Prohibition came next on BookBeat? I'm Don Swaim. Yes, Prohibition did cut into America's drinking habits.
We drank less during Prohibition than at any other time before or since.
Mark Edward Linder, who with James Kirby Martin is co-author of Drinking in America. I'm Don Swaim with BookBeat. Linder says there was an early awareness that alcohol could lead to a progressive addiction. A Civil War surgeon from Illinois, Leslie Keeley, claimed to have found a miracle cure.
In the late 1880s, he announced that he had found a secret formula that would cure alcoholism. That over time, if you took by injection his formula, which he called bichloride or double chloride of gold, you would break the habit and you'd be cured. You would then join an aftercare unit, the so-called Keeley League, which would give you mutual support. You'd also recruit new patients for Keeley.
But after Keeley's death and the spectacular relapse of so-called cured patients, the Keeley cure vanished. In the 1870s, says Linder, a movement called the Women's War launched the first organized protest against booze.
They would go into illegal bars, and some of them legal bars, drug stores, which then sold liquor, kneel down out in front, or actually go into the bar room and kneel down in the bar room, begin to sing hymns, and begin to pray.
By the early 20th century, the Prohibition movement gained widespread popularity, spurred by patriotism stemming from World War I.
By the time the amendment passed through Congress and was released to the states in 1917 and then was ratified in 1919, became part of the Constitution in 1920, the vast majority of this country already was dry anyway.
But Linder says Prohibition was a constitutional flop. The nation became disgusted with the rigidity of the Prohibitionists. There were enforcement problems, and the troubled economy of the Depression made the alcohol issue pale.
It's a part of our culture and a valued and enjoyable part. On the other hand, we do have prohibitionist legacies around. There are dry counties, dry townships throughout the nation.
And does Mark Edward Linder drink?
Yes, I do. Preference for scotch.
Drinking in America is published by the Free Press. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.